Well, I am very excited to be preaching again to you tonight. I just want to say thank you to Pastor Blalock for allowing me this opportunity to speak again. I always consider it a privilege when I'm behind any pulpit, but especially here at Beacon Baptist Church, my home church, my family, where I grew up, where I grew around, run around in diapers around the halls. But I'm very excited. God laid this message on my heart, I would say, about August, September. And it really convicted me. I heard a message previously on it, actually in Bible conference at Bob Jones back in February. But God brought this passage back to my heart again, and he really convicted me and really wanted me to share it. But before I do that, I need to make sure I introduce a little bit more about myself. I meant to do that last time when I preached, but I head straight on into the sermon. But I'm currently now a senior at Bob Jones University. I got two semesters left. I am a Bible major, and I do plan to go to seminary, probably most likely at Bob Jones, but got two semesters to figure that out. And my girlfriend Avalon is here today. I won't make her stand up because she told me not to, but I'm really excited to have her here. If you heard any of my last message, if you don't know, then you can go rewatch that message on YouTube. But I'm very excited. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 51. This is probably a very familiar psalm to most believers, and we know it's David's prayer of repentance to God. This prayer is David's response after Nathan the prophet, who was sent by God, confronted David and his sin with Bathsheba. David finally realizes his awful sin and turns to God for his redemption. In this prayer, we see a model of true repentance, a true disdain for sin and turning back to God. During this time of the celebration of the new year, I want to take a different perspective on things. And so tonight, I want to speak on the subject, God's New Year's resolution. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today that we are able to be in your house and sing praises to your name and glorify you and worship you through singing and preaching, Lord. I ask that you give me a humble heart today and that I preach your word and nothing else. Be with Beacon Baptist Church this new year as we don't know what's ahead, but we know the one who does. And so, God, continue to be with us all. In your name, amen. So New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, the aspect of New Year's resolution has always been a source of interest for me, mainly for the reason that people get motivated to change and set goals because of the new year. I'm sure most of us has had a couple of resolutions throughout the years. The most popular ones are, in order, weight loss, going to the gym, eating healthier, there's a theme here, or saving money. So a study was done on New Year's resolutions, and about half of the New Year's resolutions are health-related, as you just saw by my list. And that is great, and I think we can all strive, especially myself, to be physically healthier. But what about spiritually? Are we striving to be spiritually healthier this year? All of us would say, of course, but if we knew that God had a New Year's resolution for us, would we take it more seriously? And so the question is, if God had a New Year's resolution, what would it be? Maybe it would be to love others more, or to be more forgiving, maybe to give more, or to read our Bibles more consistently, or to pray more. And while all of those answers are correct and good, I believe in this upcoming year, 2022, there is something that God wants for each of his children, and that is a heart of repentance. There are three reasons from this text this evening why we should have a heart of repentance, and we see what repentance accomplishes in the heart of the believer. And so, number one, repentance acknowledges your sin. Take a look at verse 3. David says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." David knew he couldn't hide his sin any longer. David could hide it from everyone else, but David knew you can never hide your sin from God. This is why David was not reserved in his confession to God. Look at verse 9. "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities." David was completely acknowledging his sin to God because David understood that he sinned against God first. If you look at verse 4, against thee, the only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Any sin is first a rebellion towards God. That is why we ought to ask forgiveness from God first before anyone else. So let me illustrate it this way. Owen has been a great source of illustrations for many preaching opportunities, most likely because since he's a toddler now, but he has the heart of a toddler. He's not worried about what anyone else thinks. He just wants what he wants. And so that's gold for a young preacher boy like me for illustrations. And so when I came home from college this winter break, I saw Owen talking to my mom, and he was trying to get my mom's attention. And I remember specifically in this one instance, Owen was asking my mom just to stand up to go do something or whatever. But Owen is very persistent if you don't know him. And so, mom, stand up. Mom, stand up. Mom, stand up. And now, and my mother, this is her seventh child, so she can block out anything. And so she can just stay focused on what she needs to stay focused on. But Owen's like, mom, get up. Mom, get up. Mom, get up. Right? And that kind of illustrates how God acts towards our sin. Right? Because oftentimes we are too slow to acknowledge our sin. Right? It took Owen many times for mom to acknowledge him and do what he wanted to do. And so oftentimes, it takes God many, many times for us to acknowledge our sin. We take our time with it. And the truth is, we know that our sin is wrong, but we are too prideful to confess it. We must acknowledge our sin, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We must be quick to quench out the fire of sin before it starts spreading. We must acknowledge and confess our sin. Charles Spurgeon states it this way. He says, if I feel myself disinclined to pray, then is the time when I need to pray more than ever. And so number one, repentance acknowledges your sin. But number two, repentance restores your spirit. Look at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David understood that there needed to be a renewal of his heart, or you could say a rededication. His heart was stained with the sin of his choices. David's spirit was damaged by the guiltiness of his heart, and David even lost the joy of his salvation. I guess you could say David wanted a fresh start. And so my question for you tonight is, have you ever wanted a fresh start? At the beginning of the semester, the day before classes started, I tested positive for COVID. And I understand that we all have our COVID stories, some not so bad, some really bad, some even ending in death. But I went into quarantine, and what I didn't know is that the next 3 weeks would be some of the hardest weeks in my life. Physically, I was zapped. I really didn't lose any taste or smell, but it was my strength that was taken from me. And kind of ironically, I realized through that time that I am not my own strength, but God is my strength. But I was very weak. I didn't know what I was going to do. But the other side of the coin is that I knew classes were piling up. And even though we had the online option, I was too sick to even log in and try to get work done. I was just hoping to survive day by day. And when I finally got back, I went to one of my teachers who I really trusted. And he was teaching one of my classes that semester. And I just shared with him my heart. And I told him, his name was Dr. Miller. And I said, Dr. Miller, I just want to give up. I just want a fresh start. I got so much work to do. I feel barely healthy to do it. Can I just give up? And in his grace and in his wisdom and the only way that he could, he shared his heart with me. And he encouraged me not to give up. He encouraged me to keep going. He encouraged me, it will get better. Just keep going. He says, he illustrated it this way. He says, if you're going to jump off the cliff, at least come talk to me first, and maybe I can tell you not to. And so I took his advice, and I didn't quit. I kept pushing. And I'm, of course, very glad that I did, and the semester has been great. But how does that apply to this point? And the reason why repentance restores our heart and our spirit is not because what we are necessarily doing, but who we are asking. Many of us are coming into this new year, if I can be honest, a little defeated, worried, or anxious. Our spirits are weak. The joy of our salvation is something that we look back on instead of experience today. And we live defeated. But can I tell you something tonight? God offers a fresh start. God wants to forgive you of your sin or that one sin. God wants to carry that burden for you. God wants to fulfill that need that you are worried about. God wants to take care of his children only if you will let him. And so we see, number one, repentance acknowledges your sin. Number two, repentance restores your spirit. But finally, number three, repentance delights the Savior. Take a look at verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise. Being the man after God's own heart, David knew very well what sacrifice God desired for his sin. God did not want an animal sacrifice. God wanted David's broken heart. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart. God doesn't delight in burnt offerings or sacrifices. God delights in our hearts. So let me illustrate it this way with a question. And the question is, what do you delight in? And so the best way I can think of is, well, what do I delight in? So I brought something with me today. I brought a can of Dr. Pepper. Sorry, Wes, I stole one. I'm growing up, I was never a huge soda drinker. I like soda, but I was never huge on it until, I think it was the U.S., introduced me to Dr. Pepper. And that was the falling down the hill sense. But if you just hear it, you can hear the fizz. I mean, that's something to delight in, right? I would take a sip, but then I won't be able to speak, so I won't do that. But right, a cold Dr. Pepper on a nice hot day just sounds so good, right? And so my question for you is, what do you delight in? I know for my father, it'd be a nice beach with no one on it, just him, right? Especially me not being there. That'd be great, right? I know for Lauren, it's swimming with great white sharks. She really delights in that. Right, but there's something that we all delight in. There's something that we take joy in. And it can be something small or something big. But your Heavenly Father delights in your heart. He wants your heart. He wants even your broken heart. But God not only wants our broken hearts, but he delights in it. God does not delight that our hearts are broken necessarily, but he delights that we are going to the one who only can heal our hearts. Because when we suffer, Christ is magnified. When we are weak, he is strong. God forgives us not because we are good, but because he is good. You will never know the fullness of Christ until you know the emptiness of everything else. And so in summary, true repentance acknowledges our sin, but it can restore our spirit because we take delight in the Savior. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time and this message that from your word that I was able to speak behalf on today. I thank you for the many things that you've given us and have provided for all of our needs. But Lord, I thank you for the opportunity for repentance, that we can come before you today and share with you our heart. Because God, as your children, we know that what you desire is not a burnt offering, it's not a sacrifice. You desire our hearts. And so, Lord, help us to have soft hearts today. Help us to come before you today, knowing that you are just and able to forgive us of all of our sins. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.